Good afternoon. It's 12:02. Some clouds outside now. Maybe some rain this afternoon. We'll have to see. I'm Eric Scott, and welcome, of course, to the Eric Scott Show. We have a new guest today, one we have not heard from in quite a while. However, was a former employee a couple of owners ago, so it's kind of a reunion. Let me introduce you guys to Kathy Fairman. She's the owner of the Wolfboro Trolley Company. Kathy, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me, Eric. It's a delight to be here.
What are you,
pretty reminiscent.
Yeah, you got those memories going on?
Yeah, little bit, sure, yeah. Sitting in virtually the same room where I sat back from 1980 to 1984 when I was news director for a while and public affairs director for Alan Sharon Severy, who started WASR in the 1970s at that time. So that was, like I said, it is certainly very reminiscent.
It is. I like the shirt, by the way, the Molly the Trolley shirt, the red and white polo shirt. It's nice.
I wanted to look the best for my radio outcome. So back in those days, people may will remember my name as Kathy O'Mara. So if they're listening in, and I'm sure there are people who are listening in who listened then as well. So.
All right. Well, as anybody who has been here more than about 5 minutes knows, that this is the oldest summer resort in America.
Indeed.
And one of the problems with that comes parking. And regardless of your opinion about it, whether it's 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, that's what Molly and her sister Jolly are designed to kind of what is the term? Well, it eases the traffic.
We're trying to
do
something about that. Yeah, Eric, this isn't something new, of course.
Right.
Summer traffic and summer parking in Wolfboro is a story that is not new and something we talk about. Some years it seems to be worse than others. Molly, the trolley, was originally brought here in 1987 by three men who were directors of the Chamber of Commerce at the time. David Hemingway, who owned Black's Paper Store for many, many years. Greg Rourke, Sr., who at that time owned a clothing store called The Loft. And my business partner at the time, Richard Eaton, Sr. So they brought Molly here in hopes that they would be able to do pretty much what we're trying to do with Jolly. And I do have to, I'm sorry, I'm not going to correct you often, I hope, Eric. So, but Jolly's Molly's brother. We want to make sure we keep
I'm
that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all okay. Right, but we had to have, when we have a second trolley, we'd had one for the little guys as well. But
okay.
It's hard to tell with the name. It's one that would go either way.
Yeah, I didn't look under the trolley to
right,
make sure.
Right, there you go. You're right. There we go. Please, please. So, in any case, it was tried back then. And those were boom years, a little bit like what we've had in the last few years in the 1980s. The last time, in fact, we saw things like real estate prices going up as much as they are now. So we tried it, and it didn't take at that time. We were hoping business people would use the trolley to park and then come downtown so that you'd free up the parking spaces, for the visitors and for local residents. So we ended up taking, in fact, Greg Rourke went off to start Community Bank and Trust, and Dave Hemingway went off with another business entity as well, Growth. And so Dick and I took on the Wolfboro Trolley Company. And we decided to make it an attraction. It was fun. People loved it. People liked riding it. We made a historic tour. We got the red and white shirts and treated it as an attraction. And now here it is 35 years. I can't believe it's been that long. And in fact, I was on a charter earlier just a week ago. Went over to the Dave Matthews concert at the Bank of New Hampshire Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
Private groups get together and put their resources together and hire the trolley. We take them right over and ride back. And I had a nice young man. We were chatting about it. And he said, so how long you been doing this? And I said, well, 35 years. And he said, oh, he says, I didn't see that coming. And I said, you know, I didn't see that coming either. So it was, I can't believe it's been that long.
That was my next question, to be honest. Yeah.
Oh, well.
How long have you been doing this?
Right. So, yeah. So this is her 35th season. Just 3 years ago when we realized the traffic situation was, we have two things going on. We have a limited number of parking spaces downtown. And then when people come in, they start circling, looking for a parking space.
Right.
And then that ties the traffic up. We have hundreds of empty parking spaces a mile and a half up the road on South Main Street at the Kingswood High School complex. Excuse me. And it just seems to us to make sense that if we could get the cars that are parked downtown, especially the ones that are owned by the people who work downtown, whether mm-hmm. they're the people who own the businesses or they're the people who work for them, to park at the high school and ride downtown, or people coming into town who are visitors, or even local people who just right. want to go downtown to do an errand, you know? So that's kind of the concept and the reason that we brought Jolly to town.
And remember, a ticket on Jolly is less than a parking ticket. So, you know, if you want to avoid getting one, you might want to think about the trolley.
Well, you're right. A parking ticket is $25 in Wolfboro. And a park and ride all day pass on Jolly is $6. And half price, $3 for children 4 to 12. And under 4 years old, always ride free on all our trolleys. They're some of our best customers.
Aren't they a great age then? Everything, the wonder they look at things. And, of course, kids and trains. They do love trains.
They do. Trains and trolleys kind of go together. Yeah. And children do. And, you know, one of the fun things, Eric, is that having done this now for 35 years, we have little kids who were riding the trolley 30 years ago, 25 years ago, call us up and say, we're getting married, can we use the trolley for our wedding? And that's not unusual here in Wolfboro, and it's really special, and it's a lot of fun.
And how much of your business is that private services?
Sure.
Weddings and concerts and things like that.
Right. So that has developed over the years to be at least 50% of our business.
That's great.
It is great. It's fun, and we provide safe transportation and fun transportation for people. We turn away a lot of bookings on Saturdays. We're booking now for next year, it's a important service to provide. Really, I mean, our trolleys hold 34 seats,
mm-hmm.
so that. That's a good number of people that we can move around safely.
So if you're interested in reducing your carbon footprint or just not dealing with the hassles of trying to park in Wolfboro, this is something you might want to look at. And again, you can pick up Jolly at the Kingswood Art Center on South Main Street, where there's plenty, and then you can go downtown. Let's talk about the history of Molly. Was Molly built specifically to come to Wolfboro, or did she have a life before that?
Molly the trolley was built in Wells, Maine, not very far away, by the Molly Corporation. And the first one was leased for a year and then purchased. We're actually on our, don't tell everybody, but we're on our second Molly the trolley. So she kind of switched out there in 2007, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a while, the mileage does. You know, everybody gets to retire eventually. That's what I'm told anyway. I don't know when that happens, but I'm told it does. So, and Jolly Trolley is very brand new. He was actually built for us last year. So he was the sixth trolley built in 2021. You can see that number, and that's what the 621. The 800 on Molly means she was the eighth trolley purchased in 2000. So she did come to us actually from the from Cooperstown, New York, after her start of a career there, but then came to Wolfboro at that time. So we were the second owner of our current Molly the trolley.
Are you? Has the pandemic influenced things like parts availability and things like that? Have you had any trouble with that?
Well, the biggest thing that the pandemic did to us was that we had planned to start the trolley shuttle in the summer of 2020. Now, the trolley shuttle is supported by a cooperative effort of really four entities here in Wolfboro. In order to utilize the parking spaces at the high school, met with the Governor Wentworth Regional School Board and got their blessing in order to put up a sign. We met with the Board of Selectmen in Wolfboro, and we got their blessing. And then we went to the businesses in town, so the private sector, and said, now we have this advertising mode and we need people to buy signs on the trolley in order to support it, because there's no way that the actual cost of the trolley and the insurance and the drivers and the gas can be offset by just our ticket price, and we wanted to keep the ticket price affordable. We were all set. I had a deposit on a trolley and everything, and then the pandemic hit. So that all that planning went is in 2019, and I said, this is not the year to ask the businesses in town to take on an additional cost. So we canceled the trolley, the second trolley. It tore up all those contracts, and we went into the summer of 2020 not knowing what we'd do. And, you know, the impact was significant. I mean, the wedding business, I felt like I was a farmer with a crop, and that the tornado came through and took it out, and I just, you know, lost my crop for the season, and I'd have to plan on a crop for another season. So it was very significant, as it was for any attraction. I mean, it stopped cold our plans to expand,
right,
and impacted us. So we actually started rolling in July, literally. When we came out, the shop owners came out of their businesses and saw Molly's, and Molly the trolley did do tours. We bubbled three sections of the trolley so that a family could sit together but be well spaced from everybody else. We did one shift a day so that our drivers weren't going into the same space, same microphone, and we tried doing a tour with a mask on, and that was impossible. So we learned how to adjust and adapt. The businesses stayed with us. Before March, when the pandemic really hit, all of our advertising was already sold for the season. So Molly did run, and boy, were families happy to see us. By the time we got into August, it was a great thing to be able to do.
Mm-hmm. When do you think is the busiest time for Molly and Jolly?
Oh,
I mean, obviously summertime, but is there a particular part of summertime where it gets busier than normal?
August is usually a little better than July. Yeah, a little bit. The turnover weekends. Changeover weekends for our boys and girls camps. We always see a little bump on those weekends. And of course, 4th of July weekend is insane.
Yeah, it always is. Mm-hmm. Now, you've owned this for more than 35 years. My guest, Kathy Fairman of the Wolfboro Trolley Company. We're talking about Molly and her brother, Jolly. See, I got it right now.
There we go.
Okay. Now, let's start about Molly is the one that does the tours now.
Right. Yep.
From the railroad station.
That's right. We've done, and we're calling it to separate it from Jolly, we're calling it a hop-on and off tour, because you can get off at one of the museums or the stops, or you can get off on half an hour and then come back and do the other half of the tour when you want. But, yes, so we do a 45 to 50-minute live narrated tour about the town, its history, and about the points of interest, about the people who live here.
What are some of the things, just briefly, that you could see on that tour?
Sure. Well, you're going to see some beautiful scenery, some of the best views that we have available right in downtown, like going through Brewster Academy, like riding along. Yeah, that beautiful, gorgeous view of the Belknap Mountains. And we talk about the size of the lake and the fact that Wolfboro Bay is such a small part of it, and the history of the lake, how it's formed, the 270 islands on the lake, you know, things of that nature. Sewell Road, the beautiful homes that you see along there, and I talk about some of the history of those homes, when they were started, how they were built, what summer vacationing was like starting around 1900, for instance. But we talk about Wolfboro's history dating back to colonial times as well. You act about places to see. We also go out so you see beautiful views of Crescent Lake and Lake Wentworth. So it's nice to be able to look at those. If you're not driving, you can see them. And, and we talk about the history, the Cotton Valley Trail. How was that built? Who built that? Oh, the Boston and Maine Railroad in 1870 when they brought rail service to town. So Wolfboro was late getting train service. We tell you why.
Okay. So if you want to find out why, all right, why?
Well, you know, this... Winnipesaukee is surrounded by all these ponds,
sure,
like 150 little ponds and lakes. Every town has them, and hills. And they couldn't figure out how to get the train service to Wolfboro. It never was connected to circumnavigate the lake. got as far as Center Harbor, Moultonboro. It got as far as Alton Bay, but it did not come around. So finally, they put a spur line in from Wakefield, Sanbornville, just on the other side of Route 16. We know it's just 12 miles away because the Cotton Valley Trail goes all the way over there and 12 miles back. And that spur line came in 1872. Before that, people would come to Wolfboro. They'd come by train as far as Alton Bay and then take a steamboat to come to Wolfboro. So
really?
As John Greenleaf Whittier did that in 1849.
Wow. My guest again, Kathy Fairman of the Wolfboro Trolley Company. It's 1217 here on WASR. Let's talk a little bit about where Molly stops. What are some of the places you can hop on and off?
Sure. So if you would start at the railroad station, which you do if you take the tour at 11, 12, 1, or 2 o'clock, we're going to first go over to Back Bay. So if you want to get over to Back Bay and Wolf Trap, every time we can go there, then we're going to head up by the Wolfboro Inn or the Inn on Main, places people are staying, which they can get on and off at those locations. We're going to go around Sewell Road and come back down and see the businesses at that. We're also going to the restaurant over that we go to is the new Back Bay Boathouse,
yes.
Right? So their beautiful deck, and we stop there as well. We come back downtown, and you know, if you ask, you can get off up there by the Yum Yum Shop, or North Main Cafe, any of those locations. You come back down to Dockside, and that's where is our halfway point during the tour. So there's all the activities going down at the Wolfboro Town Docks. From there, we head up through Brewster Academy to the Clark House Complex, where you can stop at that museum, and there's four museums there to see, which are run by the Wolfboro Historical Society, kind of cooperatively. They're owned by the town of Wolfboro, so the recreation department's involved there, too. But the Wolfboro Historical Society and their docents, there's four museums there to see. The Clark House itself is a wonderful example of what houses were like back in the earliest days of Wolfboro. So built in 1778, so Wolfboro established in 1759. So that was built in 1778 and home to the Clark family, which had a homestead there back in the early 1800s. They were actually the second owner, but interestingly, they had, it's a little house, little cape sort of, and not a little sort of, it is a little cape. Has five fireplaces in it though, so and only two bedrooms upstairs, three bedrooms downstairs, big fireplace in the kitchen. They raised eight children in that house. When I have kids on the trolley, I'll ask them, do you think they all had their own bedroom? They say, no, I don't think so. So there's the other three buildings include the Pleasant Valley Schoolhouse, that was a one-room schoolhouse built in 1801. And that's located there. Firefighting building. It's a reproduction of the South Main Street firehouse. And that houses antique firefighting equipment restored by the Wolfboro Railroad Company Club back in the 1980s. Beautiful, beautiful. Plus a visiting big Amoskake steamer. And then the Hampton Barn, which is a rescued barn from Hampton, New Hampshire, which is a lot like a barn that was there when the Clark was a Clark farm, when it had the 100 acres. So that's where Clark Road, Clark Point, all that comes from. So then we stop at two other museums,
okay.
The Wright Museum and the New Hampshire Boat Museum, as you were asking. Right. And I'm happy to talk more about those if you'd like, Eric.
I would, actually. I know a lot, you know, and I'm as guilty as this. I have not been to the Wright Museum yet, even though we were talking before airtime. I would love to see the new Anne Frank exhibit. It's just a matter of, you know, carving out the time to get down there.
It, you know, that's so true and such a typical story that we hear that they, in fact, I think you mentioned that you might be having some friends or family
yep.
come to town and they'd like to do this, so you thought you'd get out and do that. That seems to be the time when we do see our local things. Even having grown up in this area, it was, you know, not until I was working here and covering stories for in Wolfboro in the early 1970s, that I visited places like the Castle in the Clouds, in several of the places in the White Mountains and places here on the lake, or take the boat rides. You do that when you have guests coming. So thank goodness we have lots of guests, so we get to go out and have fun. And I like to call playing tourists. It's really good.
I love taking my out-of-state friends on the Mount Washington.
Always absolutely a
that,
must.
The sunset cruise.
Yep.
And those of you, it leaves from Weirs Beach. It comes to, I believe it comes to Wolfboro.
Sure does. People get on Weirs Beach and they get off in Wolfboro. If they take the 10 o'clock ride out of the Weirs, they get off here at 11:15 when Wolfboro people get on. And then the mount comes back at 1:45 and those people get off and the Weirs people go on. So they come and spend their time here. There's a big event coming up August 12th. When the Mount Washington is going to be here having a very important open house, a gala here in Wolfboro. They'll be docked right at the town docks for a couple of hours that evening. And then they will be taking a dinner dance cruise originating from Wolfboro, which they used to do. I was shocked to hear it. It's been 15 years since we had our dinner dance cruises out of Wolfboro on the Mount Washington. But they're considering bringing that back. So if we have a good turnout for that event on August 12th, it's a Friday night. Buy tickets for that. Then we just might, maybe they'd be convinced to come back. The Mounts actually expanded their schedule to Wolfboro this year. They had, for as long as I've known, come 5 days a week. And this year they are coming 6 days a week. So every day except Sunday, the Mount Washington is here in Wolfboro. It comes in at 11:15. Molly likes to greet her during her tour if she can. And so you can take the boat out of. And this is what's really helpful with Jolly. The Mount cruise, if you've been on it, Eric, is 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Been on it many times.
That's right. And the parking limit downtown is 2 hours.
Right.
So how do you take a 2.5 hour cruise when you can only park your car for 2 hours? Well, you could park in the municipal parking lot or the Glendon Street parking lot and walk. But a lot of folks, that's a bit of a walk for them, especially for older people who want to go out on the Mount. So now you can take Jolly the Trolley from Kingswood High School and we'll drop you right over, right next to Kate Park, Winnepah Station, so you can walk easily to get the Mount. Don't have to think about that two-hour time limit. And maybe you'll even stay and spend a little more time once you get off the Mount. You don't have to move your car. Free parking. Yep. We're free parking up at the high school. We got hundreds of parking spaces up there. And a $6 all-day pass to ride downtown. And the thing is, we go back every half hour. So that all day long at 8, 8:30, 9, 9:30, right up until 5, 5:30, we're leaving the high school. But we're going back at quarter past and quarter of. So you're just minutes away from your car if you come down to do errands. And we have people who have a season pass, which you can buy for $100. And you can ride any of the trolleys as much as you want all season long. And that, you know, those are the things that will help support us. I talked about the signs, the town, the school, the businesses, all cooperative. What we're trying now is we hope we can get the community involved so that the people will ride the trolley. Whether they work downtown or they're just going downtown, park your car and you don't have to worry about it. And if we get enough cars out of there, it's going to make the experience downtown so much more fun.
Okay. We're talking with Kathy Fairman of the Wolfboro Trolley Company, owners of Molly and Jolly the Trolleys. I guess that would be right. Molly the Trolley and Jolly the Trolley.
Something like that. Either way. Something like that.
Yeah, it, right. My English comp days are far behind me. But we're talking about the trolleys and what you can see and do with them. It's you go in there, and it reminds me very much of the cable cars in San Francisco. It's got that almost kind of feel to it. Have you heard people?
Oh, sure. It is. It looks and feels like a turn-of-the-century trolley, and we're not talking about the turn of the most recent century, back around 1900. We like to say that Molly and Jolly, they are free of either the tracks or the electric power overhead that they would have had to have back then. They're constructed actually on a motorhome chassis. So, and the Molly Corporation buys just a strip chassis. All you can see is the wheels, the engine, and the steering wheel. And then they build the entire chassis on, and it's made primarily of aluminum, but with lots of brass and gleaming brass, and then oak trim and oak interior, and the seats are oak. So it is very much like an old-style trolley.
Where do they spend the winter?
Oh, well...
They have special garages?
They go in with some of their best friends into boat sheds here in Wolfboro.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, we're
good.
Still in the process of finding a home for Jolly, but Molly has spent her winter with all her boat friends up at Lane's End for a number of years.
That sounds great.
It is good. We like to get them inside where they're nice and safe and out of the weather, and then they have a nice long rest.
There are you always hear anecdotal stories about famous people wandering around downtown Wolfboro. Have you seen many on the trolleys?
Well, we're actually hired occasionally by some of the so-called celebrities here in town. The Jimmy Fallon's family has used the trolley before. We like to... People ask who lives where and all that. We don't point out exact homes because right. We realize these people are here because they like the fact that we respect their privacy.
Sure.
But it Wolfboro has been the summer home to some pretty significant people for many, many years. Jimmy and Nancy Fallon are usually around in July, and we saw pictures of them on Facebook, or particularly Jimmy anyway. I think a lot of the people that are here are better known, that live here year round or on a seasonal basis in summer here, are better known by the companies that they work for, than actually their names. So for everything mm-hmm. from, Microsoft to Anheuser-Busch or Black & Decker or many, many other companies as well. World War II, we had a very, in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and up until the 80s, summer citizen of ours was Madame Chiang Kai-shek. Now, she was the, out on Wolfboro Neck, actually, she was the wife of Chiang Kai-shek, who was the leader of Nationalist China yes. during World War II, and then 1949 fled to Taiwan, where the island of Formosa, which became Taiwan at the time. And, of course, that was an ally of ours during World War II. He was never here, but she was, and for good reason. She actually attended Wellesley College, and she went to summer camp in Meredith. And so it was her nephew that had this beautiful estate on Tips Cove. So that was until the 1980s. It was purchased by some local developers, at that time it was broken up into several lots and developed to some of the beautiful waterfront homes that it is today. But I don't know, you're pretty young, Eric, to remember Howdy Doody.
I know of him.
You know of Howdy Doody? Yes. Roger Muir, who was the creator of Howdy Doody, chose Wolfboro for his retirement
I didn't know
home.
That.
So, but That's you great. Know, do you know who the very first summer visitor was here in Wolfboro?
No, I don't.
All right. Well,
I think I'm about to.
Yes, you are. So, and this is some of the things we talk about on our tour. And this is the reason that we're called the oldest summer resort in America. John Wentworth was a land surveyor who worked for King George back in the 1700s. And in fact, he was the one who laid out the town of Wolfboro in 1759 when a group of businessmen from Portsmouth wanted to establish a town up here on Lake Winnipesaukee. And King George said, you can have your town, but you're going to name it Wolfboro after General Wolfe. So we might talk about that in a minute. But getting back to John Wentworth, he was appointed the final last colonial governor under King George in 1770. But by the time he reached that point, he had acquired a lot of land in New England. And that's how King George paid the people who worked for him. So King George had a lot of land, like all of it, right? And so he gave charters to people, encouraged them to grow crops and send things in money back taxes to him in England. But for John Wentworth, he paid him in land just to do the survey work. So John Wentworth had 38,000 acres by the time he came. He had about 2,000 or 3,000 on Lake Wentworth, which was then called Smith's Cove. It was later named Lake Wentworth for him. So he built a mansion house there here, and he summered here. He and his wife, Frances, her nickname was Fanny, had a summer place here in 1772. And that was even before we were the United States of America, before the Declaration of Independence, 1776, right? Mm-hmm. So we were a summer resort before we were even the United States of America. It's because John Wentworth had a summer home here then, that's why we're called the oldest summer resort in America.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was today years old when I learned that. My
today's years old, that's cute.
Kathy Fairman of the Wolfboro Trolley Company. Some of the incredible history that you can learn about Wolfboro by riding the trolley. You know, you have to ask, how did the headwinds of the pandemic affect Jolly? Because Jolly hadn't come yet.
Right? Well, we canceled Jolly. That's right. What happened. So I had the sign that's on the front of Jolly. It was all made by J.C. Signs, and
they did a great job.
It's beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
Gold leaf in there. Yeah,
gold leaf. It's nice. Gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And then many of the signs, all the signs on the trolley, are made either by Terry Harriman of Harriman Sign and Design. She does a beautiful job as well. So I really like to mention those two people who have both worked really hard with us, and Brad and Terry Harriman putting up that sign down there at Kingswood for us. When the folks that we thought were going to help us weren't able to do so. Appreciate that so much. Just part of the people that have really helped with this whole project. What happened to Jolly was that sign got wrapped up and put away for 2 years. And we canceled that trolley for that year. I tore up the contracts for the signs. And we just waited out the pandemic. But as we all know, the pandemic did not slow down the parking situation in Wolfboro.
No.
In fact, we've had more people in town maybe than ever before since that time. And people have discovered Wolfboro, and people have bought more homes here. We know some of our challenges are whole other discussions, you know, about housing for people who work here, people who want to come here. So we looked at it, and I said, okay, let's try it again. So I had let the trolley that I had a deposit on, I had to let that go, and then I had to locate and buy a new one instead of the used one that I planned on. So, but we were able to do that, and we brought it this year as a community in hopes that we can make a difference in trying to ease the traffic. You know, Eric, a few minutes ago you mentioned the carbon footprint.
Yep.
And cars circling downtown, boats circling at the town docks, that's not good for the carbon footprint. And we actually were contacted by an organization that is very mindful of those issues and protecting our natural resources here, and asked if they could purchase a sign on the trolley, which they did. And that's the Wentworth Watershed Association. So Julie there and Michael called me up and said, we'd like to talk about buying a sign. I hadn't even asked them. And their sign says, Wolfboro's Park and Ride, a lake-minded option. And, you know, we really appreciate that. And we really realize that that is very, very true. That if we can stop driving our cars a little bit more and work together on something like this, we can protect our environment, too.
And maybe it won't take half an hour to drive through downtown Wolfboro.
Yes, and maybe it won't. Maybe we can go downtown and it won't seem so crazy and just park and ride. Take it easy.
Tell me, what inspired you to get into this business in the first place? I know that you had been involved in, mass media, radio and newspapers and things like that. It's a big jump to a trolley.
Strictly by accident. At the time, we were publishing a newspaper called The Laker. Dick Eaton and I started that in 1984. And then they tried, he and a couple other directors, as I mentioned, tried the to bring a trolley to town to help the parking. It didn't, but everybody liked it so much. We said, well, let's make it an attraction. And we started running it as that. And we did that right along. In fact, as part of that, at one time, the Millie Bee, which is run by the New Hampshire Boat Museum and is their wooden boat ride, antique wooden boat ride, will be celebrating important birthday coming up pretty soon, too. That was brought here. We brought that here in 1998 as part of the Wolfboro Trolley Company because the Judge Sewell, which was around at that time, was no more. And we thought, gee, we need a smaller boat. Mount Washington's great, but let's do another one in an antique boat. So we brought that antique boat to town, and that was fun. We sold that to the New Hampshire Boat Museum in 2011 to find a good home for that. And fortunately, it's still going and doing so well that the Boat Museum is planning on running. And I think they have the boat, is now going to start running a boat out of the weirs as well, an antique boat ride out of the weirs as well. So,
nice.
Which is just great. Yeah, well, someday we'll be looking for a home for Molly the Trolley, and we'll just have to see what happens then. So.
And right now you can meet Molly at the railroad station and then take the tour, the hop-on, the hop-off tour. And you wouldn't think that a relatively small town like Wolfboro would have a trolley, but it does, and it has for a very long time. And if you haven't checked it out, check it out. Park at the Kingswood Art Center right by the high school, and you can take Jolly to the railroad station.
That's right, yep.
And then you can take the tour from there.
Then you can pick up the tour from there, right? The tour runs in the middle of the day. And the Jolly runs all day long from 8 o'clock until 6 o'clock at night. So you can come down. That's what our hours are now. This is a learning year. I'll tell you, there's undoubtedly maybe changes in the... we'll just have to see what the future brings. But for the moment, that's what we're doing. And Molly, of course, will always be here. At least that's our plan.
How are some of the business headwinds right now affecting your business, including the cost of gasoline and, you know, the cost of insurance, which I'm sure isn't going down anytime soon, especially with, you know, with the kind of, you know, commercial insurance rates that you must be paying as opposed to, you know, calling Geico and saving 15% on car insurance?
All right. So this is glad you asked about that, because it is one of the things that makes it very difficult, and more things that make it difficult for a small business to keep being a small business as the regulation keeps getting bigger and bigger. And insurance is one area that's very difficult. Right now, there's only one company in the state of New Hampshire, and they have a monopoly on insurance for my kind of business. And that's very difficult. So it's in the Department of Transportation, federal regulations that keep getting handed down, more and more of them are just making it cost more and more and more and more and more difficult for us to continue. The price of gasoline, of course, is just a killer. And so it's taking a big bite out of what we're trying to do. And we are adjusting the best that we can. You know, we don't idle, we don't move unless we have to. We want to be seen so that we are going through town. You know, that's good for all of our advertisers, and we're doing that no matter what. But let me tell you, we've got a little air conditioning for the driver on the trolley, but when that driver's sitting, that driver's not getting air conditioning right now. But it's a real challenge. There's a lot of different regulations that make it tough on a small business today, and ours is no exception to that.
Is there one or two in particular that just really frost your flakes?
Yes.
As far as regulations?
Yes. It's very difficult to get a commercial driver's license. And that is a combination of both state and federal government. And there's sometimes it's just not common sense used in these areas in terms of licensing people and also in testing. Now, obviously, you know, drug and alcohol testing is critically important so that you know the drivers are safe. But, you know, we have this random testing that costs me thousands of dollars every year, and that happens every quarter. In 35 years, we've never had an issue, and yet we have to, we're almost, even in January when we're not running, we get three or four, and we may only have five or six drivers. Right now I have nine drivers, but they pull so many, and it's all mandatory. It's all mandatory, and it's not based at all on what your record is, you know, on your, you know, and I think things ought to be measured a little bit by track record.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about who takes care of Molly and Jolly. The intrepid crew that keeps the cylinders going up and down.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked about that. So we've got some great people and new people involved this year. So I mentioned the fact that we have nine part-time drivers. I've got a driver, Don Stanchel's been with us for 25 years, who still loves doing the tours. Sandy McMartin, who is the director of the Lakeside Academy here in Wolfboro, has worked for us for 15 years as a driver. And other folks that are newer coming on, maybe school bus drivers or retired folks. It's a great retirement job for somebody who loves people. If you like history and you like to drive. And as I mentioned before, this is a motorhome. It's gasoline powered. There's no air brakes. It's fun to drive. And it's not difficult to drive if you're accustomed to driving bigger vehicles. One fellow I want to mention particularly is Kirby Cray, who's a longtime school bus driver. He has background in business, in outside sales as well. And he's come along and he's really worked with our social media program. I'm not good at that, and I'll be the first one. And I've been involved with advertising, sales, and as you mentioned, news and writing. That's my background. But I'm not good at this electronic stuff particularly. And this fellow is. So he's been the voice on our Facebook media page. And it's been helping with the other electronic things like our new ticketing program. You want to get into an areas that drive me nuts. It's only because I'm not greatly adept at that. And I love, embrace the word processing in my laptop. I love it to pieces. But my phone, you know, it knows so much more than I do, and I'm afraid of it, you know, or whatever. But I do. Having help from people who really know and are good at that has been very, very helpful. And we've been very interested in how well that's coming along. So, but I have to mention a couple other drivers. Ron White, who has a background in the Air Force, he grew up on a farm out in the Midwest, and he was accustomed to hauling the driving cattle to the Chicago stockyards in these great big trucks or grain or whatever, and that's where he learned to drive. And he drove, of course, in the Air Force as well, but he had to get his CDL when he came to work for us.
Right.
And it was quite a process. And John White, who drove as a volunteer firefighter and then had a background in ministry and in counseling and all of that, and is retired and loving driving for the trolley. So that Kirk Sharrow, he's another school teacher. He's been with me for 15 years, and again, these are part-time jobs. It's about having fun enjoying that the people that you work with. So and I'm going to forget somebody, right? And that's going to be a really bad thing. So
as soon as the show's over,
I want to come back to it. No, because I know I haven't gotten all the way up to my nine. I have another school bus driver, great young man, Rich Vidiotti, who comes up here in summers in Melvin Village. And he's come on for the last couple of years and is very enthusiastic. And Rich LaMontagne, he's moved newly to the area and driving for us and has a long history of driving big vehicles. So you know, it's something that you have to have an interest in. You have to like people and you have to like driving. But we have a good time. We're a good team and we all work together hard. You asked about who's cleaning and all that. Kirby I mentioned is one looking after the daily maintenance of the trolleys. We all do some. We all know how to polish the brass and do that. Right. But Wolfboro Car Wash has taken on the cleaning of the trolley this year.
Oh, they're good folks.
They are really good folks. Andrew and Kate there. Kate works her heart out looking after, making sure that trolley jolly's ready to go at 6:45 in the morning and making sure he's all cleaned up and all that. And in the mornings and Sunday morning, one of us is the trolley cleaning crew, and it's usually me on Sunday morning after the charter on Saturday night. But those folks are, and we take it to Irwin Ford in Laconia for the big work that has to be done when we have that.
Okay, so they're the ones that turn the wrenches and things like that.
They're the ones that turn the wrenches, but that doesn't have to be done very often. We do all our own maintenance right here in Wolfboro.
So you change the oil and things like that.
That's right.
The smaller stuff.
Yep.
That's great. So it's everything's pretty much done locally.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Our tickets are printed locally. If we do business with the people who do business with us, and I'm a real believer in that. So we don't go out of Wolfboro unless we have to.
I was just going to ask about that. How important is it as a small business person to keep your purchasing here as much as you can?
I think it's absolutely critical. I've served for the last 10 years on the Wolfboro Economic Development Committee here in town, so I have had the chance to work with a lot of business. And, of course, if you look at our Friends of Molly's list, we have almost 100 advertisers who are with us, either with a sign or an ad. And those are people I've worked with for 35, some people for almost 40 years. It's critical. Every time we spend a dollar in Wolfboro, that dollar stays in Wolfboro and turns over and over and over again. When a dollar leaves Wolfboro, chances are that it'll never come back.
Yeah, there was a rumor running around recently about a Panera Bread, which I guess turned into not going to happen, but there was quite a kerfuffle, I guess is the word you could say.
That's right. Yeah, I think somebody's idea of a joke or a needle because they would like to see a drive-by or whatever. I don't know the details on it. All I know is that it was not true. You know, there are rumors start, you know, things right. about, and goodness knows there have been quite a few businesses that have been sold and property sold and changes have and are happening in town. So it's not surprising sometimes that something that's not true might happen as well. And there are a few of those out there.
How likely are you to hold your ticket prices at least through the rest of the year? You don't see them going up?
I'm not going up in the middle of the year. What we publish is what we do, and if we possibly can, we'll keep the schedule. That is a driver issue, you know, like everyone else.
Right.
I'm still looking for drivers. Always thinking about next year. I won't increase my price on my tickets. My price from our tour is the same as it has been for, I don't know, probably 20 years. We haven't gone up on our narrated tour price. And our combination ticket, our narrated tour price is $8. Our park and ride ticket is $6. And keep in mind, these are all half price for kids under 4 free. And we have a combo ticket, which is a combination pass for both Molly and Jolly. And that's $10. I know what it costs when I go to Portsmouth, or I go to Manchester, or I go to Concord, or I go to Boston for parking. And here we are not providing just parking. We're providing the park and then a ride to where you want to go. I think that our deal at $6 or even $10 for the combo ticket's a really good deal.
It is. Now, you said you had 9 part-time drivers. Is that enough, or you said you were looking for more?
I'm looking for more, yes. I'm having to drive a fair amount of time myself, and every time I'm driving means I'm not doing something else that has to be done, and that has to be done later on. So it means a lot of extra hours, yeah.
Okay. What do they get per for mileage, by the way?
Oh, yeah, if you think you...
So
all you folks out there have your big SUVs or your big trucks that you're running around in, and you're moaning and groaning if you have 15 to 20 or 25... our trolleys get between 6 and 8 miles per gallon.
That's like my first car. You used to get 8 miles to the gallon with the air conditioner on. Of course, gas was a lot cheaper back then, too.
Yeah, it was. It was. So they're big engines. And interestingly enough, the Molly, which is the older one, is a V10.
Oh.
The Triton engine, and Jolly, the newer one, is actually a V8. So Ford's just changed it up a little bit. But.
Okay. The rest they get for the winter.
Yeah.
What happens at the Wolfboro Trolley Company in the winter? What is it that you that keeps you busy?
Yeah, so the trolleys get to rest, but I really don't.
You don't, right?
I really don't, no. So we finish up. In November, I have in the past been able to have Molly ride in the Christmas parade, the holiday parade, mm-hmm. the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which we love to do. The price of insurance has reached the point, though, that I can't, I don't do enough charter business to even begin to cover. You talk about regulations and things that irritate you. They won't allow me to take one off the road and keep one on the road as long as you own the vehicles. All your vehicles have to be on. That's a federal law because you have a federal DOT number. All your vehicles have the same DOT number. All your vehicles have to be insured. If one is, they all have to be. That's not sensible. Anyway, I told you, get me started on some of these. So I'm not sure. This year, I don't think we may not be able to be in the Christmas parade. But from there on, of course, it's finishing up the year, looking after the maintenance, the things that has to be done with the trolley. And right off the bat, getting out my packet to sell all the advertising, because that has to be done by the end of January after I finish my taxes and all that sort of thing for businesses. Then I'm out there the 1st of February seeing the customers about the following year, because our brochure, which has our map inside, and that's the Red Discover Wolfboro brochure. So if you're looking for a nice map and finding your way around town, then that's great to pick that up, and you should be able to find it just about everywhere. But that has to be printed early, because we try to get the best price by printing, you know, with other brochures at that time. And like this year, had I not had my reservation and talked about supplies and the pandemic, mm-hmm. yeah. there was a paper shortage. And so if I didn't have my reservation in with my printing company early on, then... You know, I wouldn't have had paper. I know there are other folks who had a hard time doing it. And people wonder a little bit sometimes why we still do a brochure. And we do 40,000 brochures that we print and distribute at all over the state. In fact, we went into the North Shore some this year because we're trying to extra advertising to promote the park.
North Shore of
Massachusetts.
I grew up there.
And then, So the southern part of the state, the New Hampshire rest areas, you know, those mm-hmm. all those places, trying to get the word out, especially about the park and ride, but also about Wolfboro. I mean, Molly's been Wolfboro's ambassador, we like to think, for all the years that she's been here doing this. She loves to tell everybody about what we do. And we have been a one trolley town for a long time. People have thought there was more than one trolley, though. They would think that we had more than one. And I'd run into that when people would ask about hiring more than one for a private charter. But it was always interesting, and we all thought it was kind of fun. And I'd have to correct people and say, well, Wolfboro's just a one-trolley town, like a one-horse town.
If someone is listening to this going, that's it, that's the something different I've been looking for, and may want to book a date or you know a function on the trolley, how would they get a hold of you?
Just call me. That's what everybody does. And if you you won't remember the phone number now, but just go to wolfborotrolley.com. Molly the Trolley of Wolfboro. Make sure you put down Wolfboro because there are other Molly Trolley businesses all over in other parts of the country. But so Wolfboro Trolley Company, and you'll find me. And my number is 603-569-1080. And that has been our number for 35 years. If you call that, it forwards to my cell phone. So it'll find me wherever I am. If I don't call you back, it's either because I'm on the phone or I'm driving the trolley.
Let's run down the schedule one more time. Jolly starts at 8 o'clock.
That's right, right, 8 o'clock at Kingswood Arts Center.
From the Arts Center.
Yeah.
And then goes to the railroad station.
It does.
Where you can meet Molly and take the the tour?
Well, the tours only don't start until 11 o'clock.
Okay, 11 o'clock.
Yep, Molly's tours are at 11, 12, 1, and 2 from the railroad station. You can also get on at the town docks at 11:30, 12:30, and 1:30.
Okay. What are some of the things that really make you happy doing this? What were some of your favorite things to do?
The children. I love the children. So we do for the students in school and the children every day who ride the trolley, you know. So, but they just love it, and that's always magical, and the parents and the grandparents who come. But the Children's Center, I had an email this morning. So the Children's Center kids, they will ride, the various classes will ride once a year at one time, and I charge them $1. We do work with the school systems. We did historic tours for the fourth grade this year because they're studying Wolfboro history in fourth grade. So we do historic tours for them. All of the work we do with the schools is a special rate. We do third grade tours to the Libby Museum. So we haven't mentioned the Libby. The trolley does not go out to the Libby, which is on the Wolfboro town line, but it's a museum of natural history, and it's one of the most wonderful. During the pandemic, I took my grandkids, which are 7 and 9, to all these museums, and they love them all. But the Libby is certainly one of their favorite. Wildlife, live animal shows every Wednesday there all summer long. Very
no
important.
Kidding.
Oh yeah, so much fun. And these are a lot of these are very unusual animals that they bring in, and they're different every week. So from wildlife encounters, there's so much to see and do in Wolfboro.
And what is the thing that you don't enjoy doing?
Well, after 35 years of polishing brass, I still like the way it looks. Right. And on the new trolley, when I was ordering it, they said, you can get stainless steel instead of brass. And I said, oh, no, we can't. And I know stainless steel, the refrigerators and all that, you know, they get their fingerprints and stuff anyway. So I don't think it would have been really any better. And it sure wouldn't look so nice. You got to have your brass on the trolley. I love the trolley bell. I love when you drive the trolley and everybody's looking at you, they're always smiling. It's such a positive thing. It makes people feel good. I love the history. I love sharing the history. I love Wolfboro. It's a great town, and it's great to be part of it, and I'm honored to have been. And I do feel like that Wolfboro Trolley Company is part of what I do to give back to a town that's given me a lot throughout my life.
All right. Kathy Fairman, my guest today of the Wolfboro Trolley Company. If you want any more information, check out wolfborotrolley.com, or if you just Google Molly Trolley Wolfboro, I'm sure you'll find it there, too. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Kathy, thank you for being with us. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Eric. It's been so much fun.
I hope
great
so.
Great times back here at WASR. Good luck with whatever you're doing in the future.
Thank you
so
much.
It
is 1 o'clock. News is next on WASR.